Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of College Hockey Talk. On today's podcast, I'm joined by former assistant captain of the Minnesota women's hockey team, Taylor Wente. Taylor, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, obviously, you're playing in the PHF currently at the time of this recording, but besides that, what else have you been up to since graduating Minnesota a couple of years ago?
Yeah, good question. So yeah, I graduated a couple of years ago, ended up not taking my fifth year. I just didn't have any more classes to take. Was doing sales as like a major, and then I minored in leadership. And I guess I was looking for jobs and networked a ton and ended up getting a couple job offers. So took one of those job offers and started in cybersecurity. So I have been doing cybersecurity for a couple of years now. So I went from that company to management consultant back to cybersecurity in a different company. So I sell cybersecurity at Blue Point, been there about a month. So I'm pretty new to this role. And then while doing that, I coach 12-year-olds for Aussie Maple Grove. So I'm the head coach and been doing that for 2 years since I graduated, giving back to Aussie Maple Grove and trying to get them to be better players and people. That's my goal. So just finished that season about a couple weeks ago. So last year I had two of my coaches were people I played high school hockey with. And one of the goalie coaches was one of my boyfriend's friends that was our goalie coach. This year I had different assistant coaches. So two of them were actually D1 hockey players. And then the other guy was a really good friend of mine that probably one of my best guy friends. And he just wanted to be involved with women's girls sports. So that was fun. So different coaching staff, different team, but that ended. So now I guess now I'm just selling cybersecurity and doing webcaps.
Oh, that's cool. And I read a story somewhere where there was like some like airport accident where like a ton of like information like went out. And I just think it's scary because like, I don't think people realize if like people can have access to like pretty much everyone's data and information, just if they're like good at hacking. So that's something that's probably like my biggest fear right now.
That's funny. Yeah. I really enjoy it. My family's in kind of an IT family. My older brother works at Deloitte. My dad has been in IT his whole life. Younger brother is a freshman at St. Thomas going into IT. And then my mom was a sales rep. So she now is a special ed teacher, but it's kind of fun because we have the whole family in kind of a similar industry, which is fun. And I just really enjoy cybersecurity. It's like a fun subject that I knew nothing about, and you start at square one. So I've been having a blast so far.
Now, do you still watch college hockey today? And if so, what's your thoughts on this season and who do you think will win the national championship?
Oh, that's a great question. I do still watch college hockey. I think I went to about 4 Gopher games this year. I have to pay for parking and kind of sucks. But I would say I really enjoy watching college hockey. The competition is really good. And now that my
ball is starting to fall. Competition is good. There is a lot of teams that are kind of jumping up the level, I would say. You know, when, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, where you kind of had the same teams as first, second, third, fourth, you know, top 5 teams. Teams now, those teams are actually just won the WCHA, you know, final faceoff, which is awesome. I won that my freshman year, and so you get a ring and all that. And I think they're gonna have a good shot of winning. They just need to come together and work together and use their skills and their talent to their advantage.
Yeah, I think my pick is Northeastern to win it, just because they've been
really
at the doorstep for so long. I feel like at some point they're gonna break through. And I know it's kind of uncommon for a fifth seed to win a national championship, but I don't know. I feel like it's their year just because they've had so many returning players. So it'll be interesting. I think it's them, Ohio State, and Minnesota will be the three teams that have the best chance to win, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be good. You know, I'm excited to watch. I wish I could have seen like the WCHA tournament thing, but we were in Boston, so couldn't watch that. But, you know, I always like to follow up on Twitter and see all the teams and kind of see who's beating who and those types of things.
Well, let's talk about your career. What started with that? And obviously, doing research on yourself, it says that you're from Plymouth, Minnesota. So talk about growing up there and how did you start playing hockey?
Yeah, so I mentioned I have a couple brothers. My older brother started playing hockey, just like open skate types of stuff. And I guess I'm the middle child, so I'm the only girl of the siblings wise. And I always just watched my brother and wanted to do that. I was super competitive, like to kind of see my brother as my role model. So anything that he did, I wanted to do. And so I grew up playing hockey with my older brother playing hockey and my younger brother playing hockey. My dad actually played baseball in college. And so we got probably his athleticism. But both of my parents didn't play hockey. So I don't know. It was just kind of open skate that just really, I guess I fell in love with skating. And then once when I got into hockey, I figured out that this is a sport that I really want to grow in and stuck with it ever since. So it's kind of what we all did.
Who was your favorite player growing up? Was it someone on the Wild or was it a player on the Gophers?
I would say, well, he's not on the Wild anymore, but Zach Parise was someone I really wanted to, I don't know, like kind of follow his type of play. He was always grinding in the corners and, you know, giving a whole bunch of effort, was a good teammate, those types of things that, you know, he wasn't always the best one on the team, not always the goal scorer. But he was someone that I grew up watching and just wanted to, you know, follow my play after him. So that was kind of my person.
And obviously before college hockey, you played for your high school at Maple Grove. Talk a little about your experience there and how you got the opportunity to go to that school.
Yeah, so I live in Plymouth. I was supposed to go to Osseo, actually. So my whole family open enrolled to Maple Grove. So I played in high school for 4 years. Ninth, 10th, 11th, 12th. Yeah, that's four. But I couldn't play my eighth grade year because I was supposed to go to Osseo and I had to open enroll. But I'm glad I didn't, honestly, because there's some people that don't play U15 hockey. And I think that was the best thing for me, is just to play 1 year U15s and then go to high school. But when I was playing at Maple Grove, I had Rob Potter as my coach for 2 years. And then Amber Hegland stepped in and had her for the rest of the 2 years. And then when Amber was the coach, her first year, we made it to state. And so that was the first time in program history that we made it. Made it all the way through to the championship game, and then we lost with the 5-on-3, so that kind of killed us. But one of the players that was on Eden Prairie, I've grown up with for years, her name's Kristalyn Hengler, and you know, I was competing against her at Eden Prairie. We played together before that for Machine and Velocity, and then I played together with her at the U, so it was just kind of fun, and she always gave me crap every time Maple Grove played Eden Prairie, because she's like, hey, remember when I won against you? And I remember. So
I think Maple Grove has probably the best jerseys in the Minnesota high school hockey scene. So I'll give that. Yeah, just from stuff I've seen online. I don't know all the teams, obviously, but from the four size scenes, I like the black and maroon. I think that's sort of a unique style.
Yeah, I've always been kind of a maroon. Well, maroon and gold is obviously Gophers, but crimson is maroon and, you know, gold too, and black is mixed in there. And yeah, I would say they tend to switch up their jerseys, actually. It depends on who's designing them, but every couple of years you kind of get a new design.
And what's your best memory from your high school hockey days when you look back on it today?
I would say the people. When you grow up with like that group of people, when you're so young to high school, it's just like the best time to play with your best friends. I would say that was honestly probably more memorable than college hockey, which is weird to say, but it's just because you played with them for 10 plus years. You know, it's not 4 years in college where you're playing with them. And so you really take all of this development and relationships to your advantage. And when you get to high school, you know them as a person, you know them as a hockey player, and you can use that to your advantage to play. So when I was a senior, we had like 16 seniors, which was insane. And I just remember we were all like heartbroken when our season was done, because, you know, it's hard to maintain relationships after high school and everyone kind of goes their mm-hmm. direction that they go.
And just talk a little bit about the Minnesota high school hockey scene and what it's like being a player in that scene, because I'm from the East Coast, so it's a bit hard to understand, because in my opinion, I think Massachusetts outside of Minnesota is the biggest hockey state in the U.S. and our high school hockey scene is nothing like Minnesota's. Like, it's sort of like if your team's not in it, you really don't care. But if you're in Minnesota, even if your team's not in it, everyone goes to the X and packs it, and it's pretty cool. So I'm curious what it's like being a player and just why Minnesota high school hockey is so popular.
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say like the talent is getting better within Minnesota, and all these new teams are kind of coming about. High school hockey is like so much fun. And so when you get to state, it's huge. You know, for girls hockey, they're obviously trying to grow that to make that bigger and show on TV and those types of things. But the men's, or the boys, I would consider them boys, high school hockey is a blast. You know, they're playing this coming weekend. Maple Grove actually made it to state. And last year, my younger brother made it to state, lost in this championship game. So we're kind of a losing championship game family. Mm-hmm. We can't get over them. But no, it's so much fun. You know, the environment, girls wise and boys wise, it's just the crowds are fantastic. So many people are there. So many people come together and cheer on teams that either they know, or, you know, even like you're rooting for Northeastern, right? You said for the winner.
I root for UConn. That's my team for New England.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I think Northeastern will win the women's championship. That's just my prediction.
Got it. Yeah. So even if you're not, you know, directly connected with them, like playing on the team, you still cheer for whoever you want to cheer for. And that's same with Minnesota. Like, people just kind of come together. They like a certain maybe player or team and they just cheer for them. And I wish I could go this weekend, but I can't, because we have practice Friday night, and then Thursday I have to work, and Saturday we have a game, so can't go. Yeah. which is a bummer, but I've always enjoyed going to the X.
Yeah, I always compare high school hockey in Minnesota to what college hockey is like in New England. Like, I think at least here in New England, college hockey is huge. Like, everyone like has a team and they like care about it. Like, hockey's championship super big at the TD Garden along with the Beanpot, and I feel like it's the same thing for Minnesota high school hockey. So I like, that's sort of how I compare it.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. I mean, no matter where you are in the United States or outside the United States, everyone has their kind of different championship hockey or things like that. But I don't know. I feel like it's just Minnesota high school hockey is just so much fun, because like you said, you grew up with all these people. Mm-hmm. High school, you have 4 years or maybe five if you play when you're an eighth grader, and maybe seventh grade these days, some people are. And it's just a blast. Really good talent. So much fun to work together as a team to try to win the championship.
Yeah. And obviously that experience that you had at Maple Grove helped lead you to Minnesota. So talk a little bit about your recruitment process. How did Brad Frost reach out to you, and what made you want to go to the U versus other schools you might have looked at?
I mean, growing up in Minnesota, every Minnesota girl will probably say this, you want to play for the U. You know, you go to their games as a kid, you see players grow up and you're like, I want to go put that jersey on and go skate at that arena and, you know, those types of things. So I grew up playing, and or playing hockey and, you know, watching the Gophers, and the Gophers do a great job of including a lot of youth teams to games. And I think that really gets girls passionate about wanting to play college hockey, and specifically the Gophers. So yeah, I committed when I was in 10th grade. The process, I would say, is very stressful, because when you're in 10th grade, you have absolutely no idea what you want to do, where you want to go for college. And you have to think about the other things unrelated to hockey. Because, you know, really in college, you want to get a degree, but play hockey. You know, the first thing I think is school. The second thing is hockey. So you have to figure out, you know, where do you want to go? And I've always been kind of a homebody. I wanted to be close to home. And I don't know, I just found that the U is a great program that I wanted to be involved with. And then I was close to home. Like, I live in Plymouth, like 30 minutes away from the U, and it was perfect. I had a fantastic experience there. And the things that they offer to athletes is absolutely insane, to make you feel special. And they have every resource possible to make sure that you're successful.
What was the biggest adjustment you had to make in college hockey as a freshman? Was it the speed of the game, the physicality, or just the decision-making, since you obviously have less time and space to make a play?
I would just say, like, going to college in general is a lot when you're an athlete and a student. There's a lot of, like, time you have to juggle. And I think the time commitment, you really have to figure out. Your time management is crucial. And then once when you get on the ice, the physicality, like you said, the decision-making, the pace of play is a lot faster, because these are the best of the best girls coming out of high school, coming out of these areas throughout the United States, over the United States, where, you know, all these girls are coming, and it's the best of the best people. So you expect to have good talent and good competition. So you just have to keep, you know, growing the level of your game, making sure that you're staying up to pace with your competition.
Now, during your freshman year, your team won the WCHA, beating Wisconsin. Just talk about that experience of winning your first conference championship, and during your first year, and how it helped you prepare for the tournament that season.
Yeah, so like I mentioned, the Gophers won the WCHA this year. And so when I won it, it was so much fun. Like, we played together as a team. That's probably one of my biggest memories, actually, at the U. You know, when you can beat Wisconsin, it's like the greatest thing ever, because I can't stand Wisconsin. They're a big rival of us. And, you know, so beating them and getting to hang a banner and getting a ring is the best thing ever. You know, I have the rings. I have two rings upstairs in my room, and wish I got more throughout my career. But, you know, I'm still grateful that I could even get two. So it's definitely a really, really cool experience, and it brings the team together, and you win something that everyone accomplished together.
And then you had your first tournament game as well that season against Wisconsin. You guys lost that game, unfortunately. So I'm curious what you took away from your first tournament game, and how it helped you for the rest of your collegiate career.
The, like, national championship game?
It was the one your freshman year. It was at LeBron. It was like the first round
game. I think that's when we got destroyed. Pretty sure. Yeah, we had to, like, beat Wisconsin to go to the Frozen Four or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was your freshman year.
Right. So it's, even every game you play against Wisconsin is going to be hard. And when you play at the arena and you're down, it's definitely hard to come back, because the crowd has the momentum and they just kind of keep pushing you, you know. And trying to mess with you as much as they can. But when we continue to play our game and play together, I mean, that's what any sport, you can be successful. But, you know, when you're losing, you want to make sure that you can, you know, flush what's been happening and just restart. Because if you keep thinking about what you did previously, then you're just going to keep digging yourself in a hole. So obviously didn't come out on top with that game. But, you know, just in sports in general, it's like a roller coaster up and down, whether you win, whether you lose, but it's what you take away from that. And I think what we took away was, if we're not going to play together, we're not going to win. So that's I think what happened, you know, even though it was a long time ago, it's something that you learn from.
Yeah, and I feel like you guys used that experience for your sophomore year because you had one of the best teams in the country. How'd you guys maintain that success throughout a regular season? And how'd you also deal with the pressure of being a ranked team and having a target on your back every single game?
Yeah, so my sophomore year, that was probably like the best year, to be honest, because I got to play with the girls I grew up with. Probably going to miss one, but, you know, Crystalyn Hengler, Emily Odin, Katie Skaya. Those are people I played when I was like 8 years old, and we all kind of grew up together. And it was cool because when we all committed to the U, when I was a sophomore and they were a freshman coming in, we got to just use our chemistry and make that successful. So I think with our team, people just knew a lot of people on the team. We had a good connection. We had good relationships. And that's what I think made us successful. If you play for the U, you're going to have a target on your back. I feel like everyone hates the Gophers. So you just got to come ready to play every game, no matter if they're a top-ranked team or not top-ranked, because every team that you play is going to want to beat the Gophers.
I don't hate the Gophers. I don't really hate any team, to be honest.
Oh, that's good.
Probably because I'm far away in New England, so like it's hard to feel that rivalry if your team never plays Minnesota every year. So
that's true. Makes sense.
Like I feel like you guys don't really care about BC or BU that much, just because you don't see them every weekend.
Yeah, that's true. Except, you know, we played Boston when we were in Nashville. It's the same thing. You know, you hear about these good teams. For teams you don't normally play often, and you want to beat them, you know, same, like, you hear good things, you have good, you know, good players on their team, and no matter what, you want to beat them. So
you got to play in two cool tournaments your sophomore year. You played in the Windjammer Classic in Vermont and then the Minnesota Cup as well. I'm curious, what it was like playing in those in-season tournaments, and what was it like winning both of those as well?
So in-season tournaments are so much fun because, you know, when you play sports, it's always nice to have competitions throughout where you can win something, and it gets you motivated more as a team because you're more dialed in to win something. You know, the season's long, and if you don't have in-season tournaments, it's a long ways to get to something that you can win, other than games and you know, just single games and whatnot. But tournaments, you know, the Windjammer Classic, that one I think was a big memory that I still have. I remember scoring on a 4-on-5. That was my first shorthanded goal. Or I actually want to say 3-on-5 to be actual exact. But I remember that one, and we were playing against Scobie's old team. Sydney Scobie was the goalie, and that was just fun just because she transferred to the U. And it's always fun when people transfer from different teams and you get to play that team and you're trying to beat that team together because you know that XYZ person just came from that team. But yeah, going back to tournaments, it's always like a good kind of break in the year. And it was great that we won those. You know, we got t-shirts. Who doesn't like t-shirts when you
Yeah, and obviously hats too, right? Or just t-shirts?
I don't think we got hats. I don't know, I can't remember. I'd probably be upstairs in my room, but
I feel like they always give out hats, they never give out shirts. Like for the WCHA championship, they just got hats.
I think this year they got both, but we definitely got the hat. Hats and shirts I would so much rather have than a trophy, to be honest.
I disagree with you. The trophy is cool when you get to take a picture with it. I feel like that lasts better than just having a hat. Yeah. You don't wear that much.
What I mean is like both. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime you win a tournament, you get a trophy. But not everyone can take home the trophy. So you want something to like remind you of that win as a team.
Yeah.
So when you take something home other than a medal and you get like a t-shirt and a hat with that, it's I think great, because then you wear that shirt for the next like month bragging around the school, you know, those types of things.
Yeah. I feel like after like a year though, you can't wear it anymore because it just looks so outdated. Like 2015, like champion, like you gotta like retire it at some point. So that's the one thing, at least the trophy you always have with you on your phone and stuff like that.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, my hat's from like the WCHA. Oh God, I would never wear that hat again. But in the moment, it's
Yeah,
awesome.
I know where you're coming from. Now, you guys you got to win your first tournament game that year, your sophomore year. You guys beat Princeton 5-2 at Ritter. Talk about what it was like getting your first tournament win, and also what it was like playing at home ice in the national tournament for the first time as well.
Yeah, I would say I remember, Princeton was a team we hadn't played before. And that's a lot of like the out east teams. You don't play them because they're not in your like rotation of games that you normally play. So we just had to watch film, take notes on what they were good at, what they were bad at, and how we could capitalize on those mistakes. But playing at home is such an advantage. You have home ice, you know where everything is, you have the same routine. So I think that definitely helps in your advantage, especially when the team and the crowd is majority the Gophers to really rooting for you. Definitely helps.
And you got to that win helped your team advance to the Frozen Four for the first time in your career. What was the Frozen Four experience like, both on and off the ice from your perspective?
Frozen Four, I mean, that's just an experience that is like awesome. Super grateful that we made it to the Frozen Four. You get some apparel, which is nice. You
I
can
still
wear
have so
that.
I've been to a few Frozen Fours. I still keep those t-shirts around.
Right? So I'll wear those jackets. But you really have to dive into what has made you successful and successful throughout the whole season to use that when you play. And I remember our first game, we obviously won, and then we went into the championship game. But this was our first time that we made it to the championship game in a long time. And there was many people that just did not have experience in that moment. I think that's where nerves kind of got the best of us. Because we haven't had a lot of experience within the team there. So there's nothing that, could really help us other than just try to relax and just play. But yeah, we ended up losing, and that obviously sucked, but great moment. And I had my family there. My boyfriend and his mom ended up surprising me, which was super nice. But yeah, I guess Frozen Four is just a super cool experience. You like walk out on a red carpet and people are taking photos, and you have your family and your fans that are cheering you on. Super cool, super cool experience.
Also got to play in a really cool one in Quinnipiac. I thought they did a really good job with it. It's like one of those like this is one of the weird things, but I like a sports game to look good. Like I want the jersey matchup to look good and the arena look good. And Quinnipiac is a nice arena, and the
I
Badger
agree.
white and the Gopher maroon look really good in that. So it's like a memorable Frozen Four for me, like remembering how good that just tournament looked from a aesthetic standpoint.
Agree. And you can play at a nice rink. Oh, heck yeah. And they did a great job of setting that up. Sure. You really felt special, and we for sure did. So yeah, it was super cool. Definitely a moment that I will never forget.
Yeah, the best aesthetic arenas, at least for the women's Frozen Four, has been Penn State, UNH, and Quinnipiac. I wasn't a big fan
Oh,
of
really?
Erie's. Erie's aesthetic wasn't that great. And then Duluth,
Yeah.
I know everyone loves Duluth's rink, but I'm not a fan of it from an aesthetic standpoint. I think there's too much going on in the ice. I need it to be a little more clearer.
That's funny. Yeah, their stands are a little busy. It's funny because they have maroon and gold random seats. I don't know. I think
And
it
the
would look really
logo's small on the center ice, like it's just like I that's why
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest fan of Duluth's rink, just from like a TV aesthetic standpoint.
Yeah, well, playing there, it feels empty. Can play at the Gophers and play at Wisconsin, it feels packed because you don't have that many seats. When you play at a rink that's combined with girls and boys, it feels, a lot quieter, I would say.
Yeah, I think it's the same way for St. Cloud and North Dakota when they had a women's team. It was like looked like it was like you could hear like everything going on the ice. It was like I feel like they should like found a enough built. That's why I feel like you should build two arenas if you're gonna have a men's and women's program if you have the money to do it.
Right. There's the big point. If you have money, when you have donors and people, I don't know if donors was the right word, but when you have people that can, yeah, donate mm-hmm. a ton of money to get something, you know, put forth for a rank, you know, St. Thomas just had that, you know, you had that couple that just donated so much money so that they could get a facility for hockey. You know, that's awesome because some people don't have hockey rinks. So, you know, it's mm-hmm. obviously super nice that the Gophers have a boys and a girls arena. It's awesome that we have that.
Yeah. Arizona State just built a new one. That looks really nice as well.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. But I do want to ask you about that game. Unfortunately, your team lost to Wisconsin. When you look back on it today, what do you sort of like remember from that game? And have you sort of been able to sort of, I guess, take in what happened? Because I feel like when you think about a loss 5 years from now, it's usually a lot better to remember than it after the game happened, just because, you know, you don't have those emotions with you as much anymore. You sort of remember the season that was, not just that one game.
Yeah, I would say like within that national championship game, obviously I remember that we lost, but do I remember every single moment of what we did bad, what we did good, who scored, who didn't score, who got points? No, you don't remember that. You remember the experience that you had. I think that's just with throughout all my sports. I could not tell you how many goals, how many assists people had that I had. What was our record off? I have no idea. I think that just is something that I didn't really care about. I really cared about how we can work together as a team to be successful, whether that results in a win or results in a loss. And that's even with like my coaching today. You know, everyone likes to win. Everyone wants to win. But if you just have that be your end result, if you're successful or you fail based on a win or a loss, then you're going to be disappointed a lot, because a lot of wins and losses happen so much throughout sports. You have to figure out a different way to evaluate what does a win look like for you and what does a loss look like for you, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think a win for me is just enjoying the experience throughout the entire season. Obviously, it's nice when a trophy comes with it at the end of the day, but I remember a coach told me, he's like, he was a college hockey coach, and he said he has three goals for his team. It's them to become better people, better hockey players, to graduate, have fun, and hopefully win trophies throughout their 4 years. And I think that's a great mentality for every college hockey player to have, is just try to graduate, have fun, and hopefully you win trophies at the end of the season and become a better person hockey player as well. And I think for most players, that tends to happen during their college hockey experience. Exactly.
I could definitely say all of those boxes were checked for me.
Mm-hmm.
So 100% enjoyed my experience at the U. Got everything I wanted to get out of it and much more.
So during your junior year, your team went to Nashville, Tennessee to play in a couple of non-conference games against Boston College and Harvard. I want to ask you what that experience was like and what you took away from those two games, especially playing against opponents that you normally don't get to play. Because I know Minnesota went to Nashville this past year or a couple years ago. I don't remember exactly when it happened, but it looked like a fun trip. You guys got to dress up in cowboy outfits before the game and go do some fun stuff around the city. So I'm assuming not just the games were memorable, but the off the ice stuff was as well.
Yeah, Nashville was like the coolest, I would say, out of town tournament type of thing. Nashville is just a super cool city. You know, if you haven't been there before, like, highly suggest. So much fun. I went there for hockey and then went there actually for my sister-in-law's bachelorette party. But just a really, really cool area. I remember when we were in Nashville playing, I got like a 15-minute penalty. And I ended up saying some non-good words at the refs. And not a moment that I'm proud of. There was a freaking 15-minute penalty, and I definitely learned from that moment, holy heck, to keep my mouth shut at the refs for sure. But experience wise was super cool. We had a nice rink that we were playing at, and Nashville Predators, I want to say that was their practice rink, but super cool experience. Had my family there as well, and it was just a good time.
What'd you get a 15-minute penalty for? I have to ask.
Because I swore at one of the refs, and she, she, I think, wanted to show her power. And I said one thing, and she gave me 15 minutes in the box, or 10 or 15 minutes, one of the two. It was a long time of sitting there and doing something that I'm not doing again.
Yeah, I'm assuming it rhymed with duck, I assume, or something like that.
I ended up saying like that was a horrible bad word call.
Yeah.
That was it. And she put me in the box for that long.
That's a little soft in my opinion. I feel like refs get tripped out all the time, but
I was expecting maybe two, but yeah, that was a long time. So kind of stunk. But that was not a good moment for Taylor Wentz.
Was your coach just like, let me say something to ref at you after that?
Well, I was just like mouthing in the box, like.
Yeah, because I just know the coach. I don't know. Usually coaches don't like their players talking to the ref. They usually just like doing it.
Themselves. Oh, yeah, no. And normally, I'm super competitive. So, when I feel like I have not a lot of beef with refs, but when I'm in the center face-off and they're not dropping the puck and they just kind of like hesitate, that's when I get frustrated. But call wise, no. And where I got a penalty was on the face off, and that's where I blabbed my mouth. And yeah, so face offs, I'm super competitive because I want to win. Like, even when you're on the ice, you're competitive out there and you say things that you regret. But not a whole lot of penalties came out of my mouth, only one, just with that one.
Yeah, but the only time I remember a player like yelling at a ref was a goalie got like hit, and then like the puck went in, they called it a goal, and he was not happy about it. So that was the only time I remember. Those goalies, like if you like get in their crease, they get very upset.
Oh yeah, for sure. And anyone that touches your goalie, I mean, you have to protect them too. But yeah, now that I'm like coaching and playing, I got to keep my mouth shut. And I think that's where the respect for officials has definitely came into me after that experience, where I just keep my mouth shut, because when do they ever really overrule a call? Never. Maybe 1%.
So. Yeah. And also, like, especially in youth hockey, like those officials don't get paid anything. And I think parents get way too on them. And it's why we don't have any officials to referee games anymore.
Agree.
At some point, like, you have to realize that, like, this is just from a parent perspective, that it's not about you, it's about the players. And you should sort of just like watch, and if a call doesn't go their kid's way, it's like, it's just a house league game. It's not really a big deal.
I agree. Yeah. And that's where, you get so competitive in a game where sometimes your mouth just blabs and you just need to just keep your mouth shut and you can't do anything about it. Every ref is different. Every play is different. So yeah, that was an interesting tournament though. Cause I did that. So
yeah.
That's one of my memories that I will never forget, because I won't do that, to refs ever again.
Well, who had the best cowboy hat at that in Nashville? Ooh. Did you guys do that stuff before like each game?
Yeah. Well, there was like a store in Nashville that we got cowboy hats from, and I want to say like Gracie Ostertag and Emily Oden always had their cowboy hats on. I don't think I wore one actually, but it was a little too big to pack in my bag. My little carry-on bag. Got the cowboy boots and everything. So now I'm good to go next time I go back to Nashville.
That's awesome. Unfortunately, that junior season isn't remembered for Nashville. It's remembered because something called COVID came around and canceled everything. So I want to ask you what you remember, how you found out that news of the season being canceled, and how did you handle the challenges of COVID during the end of your junior year and throughout your entire senior year? Because obviously there's a lot of schedule changes that took place because of it. The season got delayed. And also it's just hard to sort of get to know the freshmen on the team that year as well, I'm assuming as a senior. So how'd you sort of handle all those challenges?
Well, my junior year, I mean, some people didn't even get to play their season at all, which at least we got to play, because some people didn't get to play at all. And with that, like, had a lot of challenges. You had to get tested for COVID every day and get the thing shoved up your nose and all that. If you had COVID, you have to quarantine in a hotel. There was just so many things that you had to do, which is understandable, because they want to make sure that you're staying safe out there. And you know, at least we got to play. So I'm grateful for that. And senior year, I think that was a little bit better, but same thing, you know, you had freshmen coming in that you couldn't hang out with, you know, you had to hang out with your roommate because you were with them and you just had to separate. I remember we had locker rooms that we had to change different into, just so many restrictions that it was hard to get to know the girls on the team. You know, that's one of my biggest things is when I'm a captain and a leader on the team, I want to make sure that everyone feels welcomed and that I get to know them in some way. That's just kind of who I am. And no matter how old you are, I don't care. You know, if you're a freshman, if you're a sophomore, junior, senior, I'm not going to treat you different because of your age. So that really, you know, it was really hard for me because that's like a big role that I like to do is get to know people. And these are your teammates. These are your second family. So if you don't know them, you know, it's definitely going to be hard to get chemistry on the ice if you don't know them off the ice. So hard year, 100%. I remember finishing my senior year. You know, we kind of had a bad call, maybe is the correct way to say it, but UMD got into the playoffs and we didn't. And mm-hmm. I finished my college career in the locker room. So that was kind of like a tough end because I knew I wasn't going to take my fifth year. I decided that because of my classes and my job. I just didn't see the value of staying another year for taking random classes when I really, the goal of college was to get a degree and get a job. I'm not going to play hockey my whole life. I'm going to work probably my whole life. Something that's going to help me be successful in my career. But yeah, that was a tough moment being in the locker room, finding out that my hockey career is done because mm-hmm. I didn't actually get to like play. And that was my end of my hockey career. It was in the locker room. So yeah, that's kind of the COVID scenario.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, but I do want to ask you, you were named assistant captain for your senior year. I'm curious what type of leadership style did you want to bring? Were you a vocal leader or lead by example type of player?
I'd say both. Like I try to encourage people when they look or feel down, when you get scored on, you need someone to pick you back up. You know, I mentioned that I'm really relationship based. No matter who you are, what age you are, you know, making sure they feel welcomed and understand what's happening in the process. Everyone wants to feel included. So if I can do that to make sure that's a thing that is checked off, that's great. So those two things, work ethic, I'll work my tail off day in and day out. I may not be the best one on the team, the goal scorer, all these things, but I will be the one that's behind the scenes making sure everyone is feeling welcomed and at least feeling, you know, wanted and those types of things.
Now, obviously, like you mentioned, during your senior year, your team did not make the national tournament. I feel like it was a tough 2 years because your junior year, COVID canceled your tournament, and then senior year, your team didn't make it in. Now, I understand there was a lot of controversy behind that decision. I know people were sort of upset that Providence got in and not Minnesota, because I thought Duluth was sort of safe to get in, if my memory serves me correctly, on that whole tournament thing. It was weird because they couldn't do it based off pairwise. But how did you handle that news, knowing that you played your final collegiate game against Wisconsin the prior week, not knowing that that was going to be your final college hockey game? And sort of how have you processed that day today, looking back on it now?
Well, that day was horrible. Because you don't know, you know, you have all of these people to make decisions of who makes the playoffs and there's votes and all these things. Like you can only do what you can do. I'm not the one that picks if we get to go in. And I think, you know, if it's an unbiased decision, then it's an unbiased decision of who makes the playoffs and that's all you can do. So the fact that, you know, that's how my career ended was really hard, I think. You know, I definitely wanted it to end differently. Like I wanted it to end on the ice where I knew it was my last game. But yeah, in the locker room, it's really hard, especially when you're like I want to say like maybe a couple days earlier is when I played my last game hockey, and now that I'm playing back again, I mean, I just really want to make sure that when I'm officially done with my hockey career, like to end it on the ice, because you spend so much time and effort and energy, and if it's on the ice, you can really take it all in, and not in the locker room.
Yeah,
that was weird.
No, I'm with you. I'd much rather lose a national championship game than basically not know that my final college hockey game happened and not make the tournament and find out in the locker room.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But how did your Minnesota college hockey experience help prepare you as a professional athlete today and as an adult off the ice?
Yeah, I would say, like, it's a great question. Like I mentioned, I took a couple years off of hockey. I had a different role. I mean, I was coaching. You play so much throughout your life, and then now you're coaching. You see a different perspective of the game. But I would say, like, just within college, things that I took away is to, like, ask questions. If you're ever afraid to, like, fail, or you don't have people that you think you have around you to help you, you do. So I take that, you know, even to my career today, if I have a question, I'll just ask it. That's what made me successful in college. Like, professors, if it's coaches, if it's teammates, making sure, you know, I'm really trying to be better in every aspect of life, work, now playing or coaching. As a person, you know, I try to really help others, be a good person as much as I can. I think that's what college has taught me. There's so many things. And if you can just be a good person, it makes it a lot easier for people transitioning into it, or your teammates and those types of things. Yeah, in my, I would say, professional hockey career now, the pace is very similar to college, because you have the best of the best people. You have people from maybe competition I played in, USA Hockey, those types of things. But if you're in, if you're a professional women's athlete, I mean, you're going to be good. So you just have to come to work every day and, you know, make sure that you're continuing to grow and push yourself.
So we're now in a segment I like to call the non-hockey segment, where I ask you some non-hockey questions just to get to know you a little bit more off the ice. First one is, if you could have lunch with anyone in the world, who would it be and why?
I would say, well, my celebrity crush is Channing Tatum, 100%. So I'd probably have lunch with him, but I wouldn't probably say anything. I'd just look at him.
What would your boyfriend say about that?
He would accept. His like celebrity crush is, God, now I'm going to blank on her name. She's in the movie, like, just Go With It with Adam Sandler.
I don't really watch movies. I'm more a sports guy.
What is her name? Jennifer Aniston. There we go.
Yeah.
He's obsessed with her. So, you know, it's good.
That, it's, you should have a double date with Channing Tatum and Jennifer Aniston. That would be kind of funny.
Yeah. We wouldn't say anything. We would just stare at these people.
That's funny. What is the most interesting thing you've read or seen this week?
Maybe interesting thing. I don't know. You know, we have a couple brackets that came out. You have the Frozen, well, not Frozen 4 yet, but you have the girls bracket that came out based on who won their tournaments and who's going into playoffs. So that was interesting to kind of see how those aligned. And then, like I mentioned, the boys high school tournaments this weekend, Maple Grove's in it, to see kind of where the teams align and who's playing. But I don't know, like, interesting wise, I feel like everything that I see and hear is interesting. Like,
yeah,
I have to come up with an example.
I guess for me, I would say probably the women's hockey bracket, just because at least, yeah, like, the pairwise usually decides how it usually goes, except for that 1 year, like we just talked about. But yeah, it was cool to see two teams. They're gonna have their first tournament appearance in Penn State and LIU, so that's really interesting. And I don't know. I'll be interested to see if any upsets take place. I know that normally doesn't happen in women's college hockey, but Wisconsin, if they beat LIU, would play Colgate, and I could totally see the Badgers upsetting Colgate on the road. Also, Quinnipiac, if they beat Penn State, I can totally see Quinnipiac upsetting Ohio State on the road. So I'm interested to see like if that stuff takes place, or if just the higher seeds continue to win. So that's sort of what I guess that's sort of been the most interesting thing I was reading or thinking to myself.
Yeah, no, me too. And it's interesting because when you get to playoffs, like you could, any team can win no matter what rank you are. It, you know, if you're not on your A game, that team's going to beat you because it's playoff time. Like if you lose, you're done. So people go out there and try to give it their all, and it's good competition.
Now, what is your biggest pet peeve?
This is like super weird. I don't know if I should share it, but dry lips. When someone has like cracked lips and they're talking to me, I don't know. I just can't even listen to what they're saying. So I'm like, you just need to get some chapstick on that. But yeah. I grab some Vaseline and like lobber it up on my lips. I just, I don't know. Super weird, but chapped lips is the pet peeve. What about you? What's your pet peeve?
Probably bad drivers. There's nothing more frustrating, or I shouldn't say bad drivers. Somewhat like, I can't stand when I'm like driving and someone's like really close behind me and I feel like I'm getting rushed and judged. That bothers me a lot. Or if you're like behind us, a really slow driver, and that seems to happen every time I go out on the road now. So that's usually probably my biggest pet peeve. I just want to drive in peace and listen to my music and not have any issues. And I feel like there's so many bad drivers out now. At least that's the way I view it. So that's sort of it. That seems to be a daily occurrence. That's something that keeps bothering me all the time.
So you just have to not drive and then you'll be fine.
Well, I need to work and get to school. So unfortunately it'll be like 60 years before I can't drive anymore. So I got to learn how to deal with it. I'm getting better though. I will say that.
Give yourself some good time management skills and then you can just drive in peace. If someone's driving slow, you're like, it's fine. Everything's fine. Cause I have time.
Yeah. It's just the tough thing is like, it doesn't matter what time of the day you drive. There's always like so many people on the roads because everyone's work schedule is so like different now. Cause it used to be like, you just go, if you went on the road in the middle of the day, like people would be at work. So you had some time to do stuff. And now it's not like that anymore.
All right.
But the chap lift stuff, like I understand the struggle that people have because my hands get dry really easily. So I'm constantly like putting lotion on them. So especially when it's wintertime, like sometimes you just can't help it.
I don't know, you got like a crack that's like bleeding. I'm like, you got to fix that. Like, no. So yeah. I don't know. It's been a thing that I just bugs me, but I don't know. I'm weird. So I guess that's what happens.
And then last non-hockey question is who has the best style, I guess, on Minnesota women's hockey or with the Whitecaps now?
What's the style?
Like pregame outfits. Cause I see that, your team posts that stuff. Like I thought it was pretty cool when you guys did like high school hockey day, where you guys got to wear your old high school hockey jerseys. I thought that was cool.
Oh, like dresses up super nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Say, outfit wise, Olivia Knowles, I would say on the team that I'm on right now, she has some really bomb outfits. And then I'd say Emily Oden on the Gophers has the best outfits. They are really creative and they pull off outfits that a lot of people couldn't pull off, but they do. So probably those two.
Now getting back to some hockey questions now. First one is what should be done to help grow women's hockey? I know that's sort of a broad question, but I feel like you might have some good insight on what it might take to help grow the sport even more.
Oh man, I would say with women in sports, if women show up to other women's sports, that's I think how you can continue to grow. I was actually talking to one of my former Gopher teammates. I play with her right now, Patty Marshall, and we're like, hey, how many games did you make to the Gopher game? I said like four, and she's like one. And just things like that, like if we can help grow the sport by having us, you know, sit at these games, there's going to be more spectators. There's going to be more people and more fans. So I think it really a big thing could be us as women supporting other women.
Yeah. Yeah, my perspective is I feel like women's hockey needs to be more creative. Like one thing I notice is non-conference games are usually the only time you see non-conference games is like in-season tournaments, but why not do a East-West challenge where Wisconsin comes out to the East Coast and plays a team in Hockey East or the ECAC, and then the following year that Hockey East or ECAC team comes out and plays Wisconsin, and just try to do different non-conference games that people normally wouldn't see. Start the season later, maybe that's something as well, because I think starting in September is kind of ridiculous because I feel like that is not enough time for a team to prepare for a season. And then also having the Women's Frozen Four in April, like the first week of April, and sort of coinciding that with the Women's Final Four, where you guys get your own days to like have a game and it doesn't really coincide with anything. And people can just sort of be flipping through the channels and like watch 15 minutes of the championship or Frozen Four game. And I feel like that 15 minutes that someone might flip through the channels, if a lot of people do that, then people will just talk about it and helps more people want to watch the sport the following season.
I feel like you've definitely thought about this before.
I was thinking about actually yesterday driving to a game. So
that was just a long answer. I was like, dang, you got something.
Because I feel like no one does any effort to it. It's always the same thing every year. I'm like, why is there someone that, you know, thinks differently trying to do different things? And even if it doesn't work, at least trying it out and see what does and what doesn't work.
Yeah, true.
But as we're wrapping up here, I just want to ask if you have any shout outs that you want to give to any of your current teammates, former teammates, family members or friends, and if there's anyone that we should interview next, feel free to give us a recommendation.
Okay. I would say within hockey, people that were big supporters of mine was Mike Fidler. He was a coach of mine for many years. He had a team together that I ended up playing, four of us at the U, which was super cool. I want to say like 95% of us went D1. So Mike Fidler, I'd say Winnie Brote Brown, she helped me, help with the recruiting process. And then in high school, Amber Hagelin, the one that's my coach now currently for the Whitecaps, which is so much fun having her be my coach. Those are probably ones that really helped me grow. And then, Brad Frost at the U, he was my coach for 4 years, but those as my hockey coaches were very influential to me, really believed in me, wanted me to be successful. And then my family obviously have been huge supporters. The boyfriend, I've been dating the boyfriend for like 7 years, so he's been at as many games as possible too, but still waiting for a ring, so maybe that could be a shout out to get me a ring. we could get some like GoFundMe going so he can he can afford the ring that I want. I would say next person to interview, I don't know, have you interviewed like coaches?
Only a few, but I honestly, like, everyone mentions like Winnie Brote Brown as like a big influence in their college hockey careers, and I would love to interview her because she seems like such an interesting person, but I don't know how to contact her because she has like nothing out online.
Oh yeah, Winnie Brote, and then Amber Hagelin is another one that has, she's been huge into hockey too within high school hockey, and then now she's one of the assistant coaches for the Whitecaps, but I can send you their contact too. But thank you, I guess, so much for your time and asking me these questions. I'm an open book, so any questions that you have, I'd be happy to answer.
Well, thank you so much, Taylor, for coming on. I really appreciate your time. It means so much to myself, and I wish you nothing but the best for the rest of your hockey career. And obviously, I wish you nothing but success in any future endeavors you might have. And if College Hockey Talk is the reason you guys get engaged soon, then I'm happy to help.
Yeah, you better play a big role.
So, but thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it, though.
Yeah, no worries. All right, have a good rest of your day.